You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Good. Good, 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 good. It's good to see you all, and I'm glad you're here this morning. We have a great day planned. I want to talk to you this morning about just about some life changes. That's one thing we all have in common, right? Is that all of us go through changes in our lives, and life changes all a part of that. I can look back in my life and recognize different chapters, right? Different chapters. If you take the timeline, go through my life events, and we all have this, right, where we can define and pinpoint different chapters, different events that took place in our life. This week, a good friend of mine, his stepson and his wife's son OD'd this week, and it was just devastating change in the chapter of their life. And honestly, the funeral on Wednesday, it just took a lot out of a lot of us. Does that make sense? And you know, I believe that the message today, it's related to all of that, all of what we're seeing, all of where we are. You know, when you look at and listen to the news and you see everything going on, folks, there is an enemy that's moving against us. And what God is calling us to do is to get all in with Him. And so today is not a series of messages. It's just a message or a word, I believe, that the Lord gave us or gave me today to share with you. Hopefully, this will make sense and it will relate to you. Let me just pray. I know Sarah prayed, but let me pray again. Father God, be with today. I pray that you would speak to us and you would help us, and that, Lord, you would be made strong in our weaknesses, and that you would help us today to just learn or see something new and be inspired to turn the chapter, to experience something different, to be made new in a way that, God, only you can do. And Father, I just pray that you would move us forward as we look at our spiritual lives and as we look at where we are in our faith. Move us forward. I pray this in Jesus' name. The truth is we can all go back and identify these different places or these different life events, these different times in our life that took place, and that makes up our timeline or our life story. I can also identify when I probably should have moved on, put an end to one chapter, right, and moved on to the next chapter. But for whatever reason, you kind of stay in that chapter too long. You guys know what I mean, right? For whatever reason, maybe it's grief. You don't want to let go of that grief. Maybe it's fear. Maybe fear keeps you from stepping out of this place that you're in into this new place that God would be calling you to. Maybe it's complacency. I mean, I get real comfortable being comfortable. And I know some of y'all have a chair like mine. I watch Saturday football because the Bengals stink. They're horrible. I don't watch NFL. I watch Saturday football, right? Because Saturday football, I mean, Ohio State, I think, could beat the Cincinnati Bengals. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I just watch all that. I sit, and Saturday's kind of my day of rest, and I sit in my chair, and I'm really comfortable. And I could get comfortable being comfortable. And maybe that's what keeps you from moving on to that next chapter in your life. I've experienced times when it's time to move on, time to improve or find healing, time to move on in my recovery. But for whatever reason, I have like resisted that change, resisted that move forward. And I believe more times than not, we want God to do something new while we do the same thing. God help us. We want God to do something new. We're praying, oh, God, do something new, right? But we do the same thing. We keep doing the same thing while expecting different results. We're all insane. We all have a life story. The common denominator in all that is that we all share. The common denominator we all share is that all of us are in need of life change. Life change. Our mission on the wall is to lead every person into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Let's just talk about that life change just for a second. Hang with me here. That life change is not like you arrive. You know, God doesn't just change you and that's where you stand. Okay? He changes you, and that's where you begin to move and progress and move forward in the faith. It's a life-changing relationship. What does that mean? That life-changing relationship is active. It's not passive. It's not stagnant. It's ongoing, life-changing. It's a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And if you're following Jesus, it is always changing. God is always changing. He's always pressing. He's always inspired. Well, I believe he doesn't press us. He inspires us or he woos us. He wants us desperately to follow him as he navigates us through whatever changes in our lives that he's calling us to. Last week, we talked about a bigger life, and that life comes with making bigger commitments. And we use the wet your pants kind of commitments. God calls us to commitments, to a bigger life. He calls us, maybe it's something simple or small. You know, we have different things that that I believe that we can take him up on. Maybe it's going back to school. Maybe it's writing a book. Whatever it is, the first step is a lot of times the hardest. Maybe it's entering into a relationship. For many of us, we are overdue in taking our next step in having a bigger life. For many of us, we've been somewhat resistant to moving forward, taking our next step spiritually or in the faith. God is calling us not to be comfortable. He's calling us to experience his life-changing relationship. God brings change to life. Thank God. Thank God. You would not be here today if in some form or fashion God did not change you. You would not be here this morning if God was not at work and God didn't, through someone else or through something happened, God brought you here for whatever reason. You are here as a demonstration of a desire to experience him and for him to bring change to your life. God help us. Here's the truth is you cannot be all in when you have 2 feet in different boats. A period can close one chapter and move you into a new chapter. And I believe that we're all in a place, and I believe that what we see and what we know and what we experience in our workplaces and what we're experiencing in the world today, there is a window of opportunity for us to move forward and progress in the faith. And I, folks, don't want to be comfortable. I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm looking and praying and I'm asking and I'm asking God to show me, what do I need to do to move forward in the faith? What do I need to do? Because the speed of the pack is the speed of the leader. And if I'm not growing, my family's not growing. If I'm not growing, there's people at church that are relying upon me to move forward in the faith, to grow my faith and to progress. And here's the deal. That is not easy, folks. In 1519, there was this guy named Hernan Cortez, and he set sail to Mexico. Once he arrived to Mexico, there at Mexico, there were like 5 million people there in Mexico at that time, right? People, right? And they were up against it. There were 527 sailors. And what Cortez did, and this is where you hear this word or this phrase, what he did was something of truly, it was an epic tale of mythic proportions, as it was written in the books, right? He burned the ships. You guys with me today? He burned the ships, meaning he burned the ships, meaning he gave up on plan. There was no plan B. All he had was plan A. in moving forward into that next chapter. He burned the ships, folks, meaning there was no way out other than, now granted, I mean, I'm not for colonization and all that took place there. There was a lot of moral issues probably with all of that, but and I'm not trying to make the guy a hero. But what I'm trying to say is looking at his commitment in moving forward, right? He burned the ships. And I think where we are a lot of times in our spiritual journey, where we are in our faith, is we got one foot in and one foot out. Where we are in our spiritual journey is we've always got a backup plan. Where we are in our spiritual walk and spiritual life, we don't burn the ships. We don't get all in. There's a passage of scripture in the Old Testament. Very, very interesting. And what we see is this guy burning the ships. And there's a lot we can glean from this. But look at it in 1 Kings 19:19-21. That's why we want to look at it, because there's a lot I think we can pull out of it. Here's what it says in 1 Kings 19:19. It was the call of Elisha. So Elijah went out and found Elisha. So Elijah is this prophet. Elijah was up against this King Ahab. There's a lot of, read the book, or read about Elijah. Very fascinating. You can find him in Kings. Read all about him, right? Read his different miracles, different things he was up against, all that went down. There's a lot you can pull out of that. But Elijah went out and found a guy named Elisha. And here's the truth. All of us need to be finding somebody. If you are a follower of Christ, Jesus is calling you to do what he did. And what he did was to raise up a disciple or disciples, right? God is calling you to disciple someone. He's calling you not to live your faith out in and of yourself. He's calling you not to live in your own isolated island. He's not calling you to just be you. He's calling you to pour yourself into someone. And someone say, woe is me. There's nothing I have that anyone else would want. If you have a story, someone needs to hear it, folks. Because the chapters that you've been walking through are chapters that someone else are walking through. And if you open up your eyes and begin to pray, God will lead you to someone to begin to pour into. There are people here and people all around that don't have people investing in them. And the truth is, the church has it all backwards. They put some pastor up front and they want the preacher to disciple 100 to 200 people. And it doesn't work. You hear what I'm saying today? People say, well, why isn't the church growing? The church isn't growing because they depend on the pastor to come in here and feed me. I don't mean to be ticked off. I'm not ticked off at you. I'm ticked off the way this thing works. I don't care who you are. Jesus, the Son of God, could only disciple 12, and one of them messed up. The truth is that the church will not move forward unless people get serious about discipleship. Period. End of story. So if you feel like you can't do it, you need to move to the next chapter, folks. You need to put a period there, move to the next chapter, and you need to show up and get with Ashton and learn how to disciple. Learn what other people are doing. I'm telling you, it is not difficult. If you can talk and read, and if you can read, that helps. You can disciple. Elijah went out and found Elisha. Why did he find Elisha? Because Elijah knew that there would be a day when his timeline would expire, when his timeline would end. He knew that there would be a day when there would be someone who would need to come up after him so that he could speak just as Elijah was speaking, so that someone could speak after him for God. And so Elijah brought in this Elisha. Well, he saw Elisha. He was plowing a field, and there were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. And back then, that was a big deal. Basically, Elijah's saying, you are going to be my disciple. And it worked that way back then, right? It was an honor. honor back then. It was an honor. People knew who Elijah was. Elijah was, man, it was like, whoo, there's Elijah, right? And it's like a Billy Graham shows up, puts his cloak around you and says, hey, you know what I mean? That's kind of what it was like. They knew. But the truth is that there was, Elijah had a story and Elisha had a story. They could relate to one another. And Elijah knew that. So Elijah found Elisha and there it began. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and walked away. Verse 20, Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. Verse 20, so Elijah returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast the flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went to Elijah as his assistant. Elisha was following, and that's where we're at. Then he went to Elijah as his assistant. Now, here's what's interesting. You talk about burning the ships. Elisha was a farmer. Elisha lived and dwelt in this breadbasket of this river Jordan Valley where he was, right? This was a breadbasket. He had an incredible inheritance. He came from a family that basically had all of this agricultural wealth, right? He had a job. He had a team of oxen. Elisha was comfortable, I'm sure, with where he was. And what we see here is Elisha making an incredible statement. A statement of faith. In verse 21, you see he returned to his oxen and he slaughtered them there. He basically used his plow as kindling and built a fire. He used his tool to build this fire. And there in this fire, he took his oxen and butchered them and had this incredible barbecue. And he passed around the meat to the townspeople. And they all ate. Why did he do that? It was a statement of faith saying, I am burning the ships. This was his livelihood. This was his inheritance. This was what he had to move forward. This was what he did. He burned the ships to make this statement that his life now was beginning anew, that he was moving from one chapter to another chapter, that he was all in, that he was burning the ships, that he was all in, that he was 100% behind what God was calling him to do, which was be Elijah's assistant. Some of us need to make a statement. Yeah, you've prayed and you've made a statement of faith and all of that. And you may be following Jesus. Maybe you're not following. The truth is that all of us, I believe, from time to time need to make a statement. That statement is a testimony. That statement is saying, I am moving into a new chapter in life. That statement is saying that I am going to forget what is in the past and move forward with what God is calling me to in the future. Throughout Scripture, you see statements that were made. Through the Gospels, you see statements. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give after his conversion. I will give half my wealth to the poor. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times. Meaning making a statement, Zacchaeus was, right? Receiving Christ in his life, making a statement, moving forward in his progression in the faith, moving forward in the faith, making a statement to others that this is what I'm doing. No plan A, right? No plan A for Mary. When Mary got down on her knees as Jesus was seated in a chair and broke that alabaster jar over Jesus' feet and poured out that nard, that perfume over Jesus' feet, right? There was a statement. Very costly perfume. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Folks, this was extremely valuable, remember? Judas was upset because it could have been sold, right? It was not just the value, it was valuable. It was not just the value of the perfume. It was valuable to her. Why? Because it was her sex appeal. She was a prostitute. It was her sex appeal. She gave all of that up. Turning the page, moving from one chapter to another chapter. You see the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus is there sharing with her the faith, right? Sharing with her about the living water that she can receive and prophesying over her and speaking to her need. And what did she do? She went back to her townspeople. But before going back, it says that she left her water jar. What was her water jar? It was her identity. She used the water jar to go to the well. And at the well, she had five husbands. And the one she was now with was not her husband. It was a place, a meeting place. She left that. She gave that up because she wanted to move to the next chapter. In Acts chapter 19, a number of them had been practicing sorcery, brought their incantation books, and burned them at the public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars in today's wages. Verse 20. So the message about the Lord spread wildly and had a powerful effect. Folks, when you begin to move from one chapter to another chapter, when you begin to get all in with Jesus, when you begin to burn your ships of the past and you begin to move forward in the future, moving into a plan A, all commitment, and living a life that is value, that is one that God's calling you to, folks, here's what happens. The message about the Lord spreads wildly and has a powerful effect. Could it be that the reason why the church is not what God would have it to be? I'm not just talking about this church, but could it be that the reason why the church is losing so slow or winning so slowly or losing so slowly they think they're winning is because they're not moving forward in the faith? We're not seeing the message about the Lord spread wildly. We're not in our country. We're not seeing it spread wildly and have a powerful effect. I'm not trying to be a downer here, folks. I know you come in with pain, and I know you come in with hurt. I know you are troubled. I know we're all troubled. All of us, everyone I talk to has an issue. We all have issues. But in spite of our issues, God is calling us to move forward with Him, to do something new. And if you follow Christ in your pain and in your hurt, and you press on and lean into Him, when you go all in with Him, it has a powerful effect for the gospel. Not just in spreading it wildly to other people, but you begin to find fulfillment and healing and peace within. Folks, I could get up here week after week and preach healing messages. I believe in healing, and I believe it's a message that God wants us to share. But the healing message in and of itself falls short when we're not willing to go all in with God. I believe this is the kind of burn the ship kind of commitment that God wants us to see. Here's what I know. What I know is this, is God is calling us to move away from our past to something new. That's healing in and of itself. He's asking us to turn the chapter. I believe we're walking into a new day where the Lord is beginning to call us out. He's calling us out. In Philippians 3, 13 and 14, it says this, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, Paul writes, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Jesus Christ first possessed me. Verse 13, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Folks, he's calling you and I to press on. To press on. He's calling you and I not to give up hope, but to press on. In basketball, you see this, there's this type of defense. It's called the prevent defense. And it's usually a half-court defense, right? And you run down and you set up in your half court and they bring the ball down across the half court line and there, and then there's where you defend, right? And it's prevent. You hear it in football, right? The prevent defense. You're just trying to keep them in front of you. You're not letting them get past. But then there's this other kind of defense. It's more of an offensive type defense. And that defense is different. It's like a full court press kind of defense. It's a press that you're basically pressing up against. Look, here's the deal. I believe that the church's tendency is to run a prevent defense. I believe that what God wants and what we see demonstrated through God's love for us through his sending of his son, that was not prevent defense. That was an offensive type of defense. Look, here's what it says in Matthew 11, 12. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. I love that. Folks, as a church and as a people, God wants us to forcefully advance. He wants us to forcefully advance against this fentanyl and heroin stuff that's taking over and that we hear and see so much of. He wants us to forcefully advance and offer our recovery and healing that God offers on Tuesday night. He wants us to help with that. He wants us to help by getting into relationship with people and pouring our life out and helping others and moving others forward. Look, I believe that God wants you and I to make a difference. And if we follow him and we do what God's calling us to do, we can make a difference in this world. Here are the questions that we all should consider. Are you playing offense in your marriage? Or are you playing a prevent defense that leaves romance on the sidelines? Wait a minute, Ryan, you're talking about my marriage now? Yes, God wants you all in with him, which means all in your marriage. Are you parenting reactively or proactively? That's convicting to me, folks. Think about that. Reactively, we're real good at grounding our boys, right? And they deserve it. Beth's better at it than I am. Where she comes up with some of the punishment, I have no idea. I'm like, dang, how does she get so creative with that? But are we proactively parenting? Are we sitting down with them, putting an action plan together? Are we helping them move forward and the things that they're passionate about? God, help us to be better at that. All in. God's calling us to be all in with him, to move to the next chapter. Do you have a spiritual growth plan? What? Are you working for a paycheck or stewarding your God-given gifts, pursuing a God-ordained dream? Are you trying to break even spiritually by avoiding sin? Or Are you going for broke by invading the darkness with the light and the love of Jesus Christ? God help us. I believe God is calling us and moving us to something more. Something more. There were two words that the Lord gave me, and we're going to move that through the end of the year and in the beginning of next. But it was a call to prayer, and it was also a call to invitation, meaning our message about invitation. So it was call the church to prayer, and it was call the church to invite, right? Invite. And I believe that God, you know, we're seeing that, you know, a personal invitation for people coming to prayer Thursday morning, 6 a.m. We got two new folks coming in. Thank God. By someone inviting. It came to my mind, this whole idea of inviting. Where is that going? We have to have something here to invite people to. And I believe we have that. I believe that God is calling us to step outside, to invite, to pray, to seek his face. Elisha followed Elijah, and he prayed. He said, God, give me a double portion of Elijah's blessing. Don't give me 100% of what Elijah has. Give me 200% of what Elijah has. And you know what's really cool? If you go back and you count all those miracles that God did through Elijah, there were 14 recorded miracles in Scripture that Elijah did. And there were 28 recorded miracles that Elisha did. Folks, I think we're thinking way too small here. I think first service, second service, I think our discipleship groups. How many group leaders, Ashton, are we praying for by the end of the year? How many? 19? 19 in this upcoming year? 19? We're praying that God would raise up 19 life group leaders. Because the power of what we're doing is in life groups. We need 19 people basically to turn the page, to move to the next chapter, to bring some people into your home, to bring some people to a Tim Hortons or Starbucks, if you like that kind of thing, or somewhere, and just open up Scripture, read a little bit of Scripture, and share your life with them. There are people dying for that to happen. And it's not going to happen unless the Lord, you allow the Lord to reveal it to you, unless you open yourself up to that. The most important thing that you can do here at this church is not do a message on Sunday morning. It's not to play in a band. It's not to do, you know, there's all kinds of functions that we have to do in order to, you know. The most important thing you can do is disciple someone. And I believe that God is calling us to do that, to be all in with him. Father God, I ask that you would make a difference for us, that you would help us, that you would reveal to these folks and reveal to me on what ships I need to burn, on what I need to do to move forward, on what needs to happen in order for us to grow in the faith. And to see the power of God spread across our community and land. And Lord, we ask that the gospel of Jesus Christ would forcefully advance and move forward. I ask that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.